Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask and receive in our hearts, humble servants, that you will instruct us, enlighten us, inspire us, strengthen and quicken us to walk your path, to do your work with joy, with all our heart, to have courage and to be faithful as we execute your work on the earth, even in the church and through your church in the world, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says in verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Can we take verse 2 together? Once ago, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness. The word faithful is the same word used or translated as faith. It is the word pistuo. Pistuo. The word faith. Or the word belief. Pistuo. Faith. Pistis. The same word, translated faithful. That's why many times as you read through the books of the Bible, you come across the word faith, especially in the New Testament books of the Bible. You come across the word faith. I said many times, by the time you look at it deeply, you observe the word is better rendered as faithful. Because those words were translated from the same word. Not only were they translated from the same word, those words are connected. The word to believe. Someone was asking me during the week from the assignment I gave on sociology. I said, why did God choose to save man through faith? As simple as that question was, I was not in a hurry to answer it. I wasn't in a hurry. The sister asked the question, why did God choose to use faith? Two people actually. Someone later asked. I was not in a hurry. So I took at least 2 hours answering the sister. Why did God choose to use faith? She now said that, oh, I think it's because faith is not easy for everybody. That if faith was easy for everybody, everybody would have believed. In fact, it was that clause that now made me to take my time. That will explain that actually, on the contrary, it is because the easiest thing is faith. So I went into explaining what faith is called for about 3 hours. To her, a girl on WhatsApp spoke, she see, and I call, and then met and then showed her. So look at this. I just gave her assignments. Go do it. She returned. I said, so what do you have? Go and read it again. I was doing that concurrently on my phone for about 3 hours or 4. Are we there? Because that word faith and the word faithful, they are not only that they were translated from the same word, they are actually related. Because the word faithful and the word faith, you know, it means to be, that faithful is adjective. So faith is a verb. Are we together? No, it can also be a noun, but it's most likely used as a verb, to have faith. Are we together? To have faith, that is, or to believe, the verb form of faith, to believe, the word pistuo. Now, faith means to rely. And faithful means to be reliable. So Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, it is required. Someone say required. So look at me. This is a required curse. It's a required subject. If you're going to be a minister, if you're going to be someone we can describe as a minister, then faithfulness becomes an ingredient.
This is what Paul is saying. To be reliable.
To be reliable. To be reliable. To be trustworthy. You know, we often say that God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, God is faithful, by whom we were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then in verse 13, he says, they have no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So oftentimes we use the word faithful for God. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, Paul is saying that I am a product, or the church is a product of God's faithfulness. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, referring to salvation. That fellowship refers to the new birth. Salvation. The new birth. So he says, the new birth attests to the faithfulness of God. It shows, when he says God is faithful, it means God is committed. God is committed. He is always committed. Always committed. Faithfulness. It has an ingredient of consistency to it. Consistency to it. Faithfulness. Are we together? One who does not change his mind. I told you severally that what we call the New Testament today is actually God's faithfulness. The testament of God's faithfulness. Renewed covenant. How that God is faithful. He does not change. He doesn't change. He is committed. Faithfulness has to do with 100% commitment to a cause. Are we together? That is why you observe the word faithful goes alongside with the word loyal. Or the word faithfulness alongside with the word loyalty. So Paul is saying, I am who I am today, or the church is who it is today, because of God's loyalty. God's faithfulness. Are we together? So his cause. God's faithfulness to his men. God's faithfulness to his mission. God's faithfulness to his plan. God's loyalty. The message of the gospel which you preach itself is a message of God's faithfulness. The message of God's faithfulness. Praise God. The gospel which we preach. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It has to do with the fulfillment of what he has said. That is faithfulness.
That is what? That is what? And that he was buried, verse 4, and he rose again the third day, according to what is what? Written. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which you bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Look at this, and what verse 10 is explaining is Paul's own faithfulness. So look at me, everyone. The response to faithfulness is what? Is what? Faithfulness. Are we together? Is what? Faithfulness. The response to faithfulness is faithfulness. Are we there? So you see why it is called the new covenant, or why it is called the covenant. So you see why it is called the new covenant. This is the covenant which God institutes. So because God institutes that covenant, amen, it is called what? A new what? Covenant. This is the one God institutes. And then the old covenant is the one man does what? Institute. So God says, this is the way I want to deal with you. And then man says, no. Man says, I want to do my own. So he says, but I restored you, I redeemed you from captivity. He said, okay, so what do you want? Man will not walk in that response. Are we together? Are we together? Man will not what? Man will not walk in that response. What response is that? What response is that? Huh? What response? Man will not walk in that response. What response am I talking about? When God says, this is the way I want to deal with you. Look, be patient and listen carefully to what I'm saying. God says, this is the way I want to deal with you. This is the way I want to interact with you. We call that the covenant that God institutes, the new covenant. The man says, I want to do my thing. Allow me to be free. Allow me to choose. Let me choose what to worship. Allow me to express my desires. But God says, no. This is what I want you to relate to me. Because in your relating with me, look at this, will affect how you relate with nature. Don't write. You're just stenographers for nonsense. Listen. Sometimes you are worried to write something you want to go and share. This is the way I want to deal with you. Because man in right relationship with God
is the one we call the image of God. The image of God will put God's creation in its place perfectly. Are we together? It will put God's creation in its perfect place. Will treat the earth properly. The image of God stop lighting. The image of God, are you listening to me? Will put the earth in its proper place. God does not need you. God does not need to teach you or to school you on how to treat a fellow human being. He wants you to have a right relationship with Him. That relationship with the Lord will help you to treat a human like you properly. I'll bring that vision to you later. But I mentioned human, actually the whole creation. Are we together? So, God's wisdom for man, man's activity, man's living on the earth is present in the right relationship with Him. So the relationship that He seeks to have with man, to establish with man, which we saw in Genesis, will be in man's heart, is the new covenant. Ezekiel 36. That's what we call the new covenant. So this is the way I want to relate with you. The man says, no, I want to do my thing. So we said, even that desire for man to do his thing itself is supernatural. Because man was naturally created to want God. It will require a supernatural influence on man's heart to say, I want other things aside from God. That's where prayer comes into ministry. Are we together? So that relationship that God seeks to institute with man, to have with man, is what today we call the New Testament. God doesn't call it New Testament. God calls it My Testament. Are we together? This is My covenant that I make with you. You will find it in Genesis. My covenant. He makes that covenant with Noah. And He uses the word My covenant with you. He makes it again with Abraham. He uses the same word. This is My covenant. In fact, this is the token of My covenant with you when He spoke to Noah after the flood. So that is His covenant. That is the relationship He wants to have with man. But here, man in sin says, I want to do my own. Then God then says, but I restored you from chaos so that you can have this relationship with me. Or I created you, or I recreated you. The recreation or the restoration you can point to, this is the purpose for it. Then man says, so what do you want? Are we together? Now, obviously, man will not walk in that response. What response? Man will not walk in the response that God gives. If man says to God, so what do you want? He wants God to then respond and say, I want this, I want this, I want this. Man will not walk in it. Why? Because that inquiry, so what do you want, is made from a rebellious heart. That inquiry, so what do you want, is from a heart that already doesn't want to follow Him. You'll find that in Israel. So, but God will communicate what He wants. So man then says, okay, if this is what you want, don't worry, I will do it. Shebi is just to us to do it, and I am fine. Are we together? Then God says, no, it's not just about doing it. I want to live in you so that you can walk in it. Your doing it will not be by learning the codes of conduct. Your doing it will be an expression of a life state with me. The man says, no, allow me to do my thing, but if that's what you want, with this course of conduct, I will do them. So that becomes the old covenant. Are we together? Because man will fail even at doing them. Are we together? The information that comes to him about what God wants is a question he asks out of rebellion. So what do you want? But God will communicate his counsel, then man begins to labor to walk in that counsel, but his heart is far. He will fail at it. That consistent failure of man, because he does not go about carrying out God's work, God's way, which is by just solving the issue or from the heart, coming into a relationship with God and allowing God to work out his plan through him, is the old covenant. In fact, that's what you have in Islam today, is old covenant. The hardness of heart. All of Islam is old covenant. Are we together? We'll look at it when we get into our law of Moses. That is the series they are taking. Is it clear? So, but where I'm going is this. The covenant that we call the covenant of God, what we call the new covenant, is actually the covenant of God's what? Faithfulness. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. It's the covenant of God's faithfulness. So God's plan is that whosoever the Christian is, whatsoever the church is, the church will be what it is, the Christian will be who she is, who he is, because of the faithfulness of God. Are we together, church? That's where I'm going. So that is what I mean by the old covenant. So sometimes the old covenant does not mean that your conducts are wrong. The old covenant simply means the motive behind the conduct is not as God wants it. So you'll find someone who is not lying, but it is not because God dwells in him to walk in love. It is because he is trying to prove to God, I can do what you have said. But what God really wants is faith and a consistent learning of what you have become through faith. And that knowledge, that wisdom, will be expressed in his daily life. Are you with me? I don't know if you got what I said. Okay? So the covenant which we have today is actually the covenant of God's faithfulness. The New Testament is the covenant of God's faithfulness. The church is who it is today, what it is today, because God is faithful. The message which we preach, 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, which we're reading, he says, but by the grace of God which was, he says, I am what I am, and his grace was bestowed upon me, verse 10, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Are we together? So I said, this, verse 15, or verse 10 rather, is Paul describing faithfulness is in his own work. Faithfulness. So I said, Paul's response to God's faithfulness was what? His faithfulness. His faithfulness. But read on. He says, therefore, whether it were I or thee, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ will preach that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Because look at this, the doctrine that says there is no resurrection of the dead puts the faithfulness of God to question. You will see that later on in verse 58 when he says, but you beloved, be ye steadfast. Is that same as be ye faithful? Is that same as be ye faithful? What's the next thing he says? Unmovable. Is that the same as being faithful? Is that the same as being faithful? What's the next thing he says? Always what? Abounding. Is that faithfulness? In the what? Work of the law. For as much as you know that what? Can we read together? For as much as you know that what?
For as much as you know that the Lord is faithful. So it shows you something, that the believer's faith is in the faithfulness of God. Our faith is actually in His faithfulness. Our faith, look at me, everyone. Our faith in His faithfulness is what becomes our faithfulness. Are we together? Our faith in His faithfulness. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. That is what Paul says. I'm not done reading that text. If you see, he says, but if there be no resurrection, verse 13, of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He what? He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is in vain. Does that mean your faith is in vain or your faithfulness is in vain? Wait. The faith here, will it refer to your faith in vain, your believing in vain, or your service is in vain? It has to do with service. He says, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faithfulness, he says, is in vain. He says, you are yet in your sins. Then he says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Why? Verse 19, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most what? Miserable. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and have become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, so also by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, he says, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, he says, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, he says, whom he shall have put down, or when he shall have put down all rules and all authority and power. For he must wait till he has put the enemies under his feet. If you read on and on, then he says in 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manner. Good manner there will have to do with a heart of service. And evil communication there has to do with false doctrine. It corrupts heart of service. False teachings will corrupt your fervency. That's what he's saying. Wrong teachings will corrupt your fervency. Wrong teachings will corrupt your fervency. Then he says, be steadfast. So the message which we preach, he says, it is according to the scriptures. It is according to the faithfulness of God. In Acts of Apostles chapter 13. And then in verse 16, he says, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, said, men of Israel, you that fear God, give audience. The God of these people of Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With an eye and brought ye out them out of it. And about the time of 40 years they suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided the land to them by lot. That's Joshua. He says in 20, and after he had given them judges, he says about the space of 450 years until he summoned the prophet. And after they desired the king, God gave them son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. In other words, the description of David in scripture is the faithful servant. He becomes the image of the faithful servant of this man's seed at God, according to his promise raised unto Israel, his Savior Jesus Christ. Again, it describes God's faithfulness. So he puts David's faithfulness side by side with God's faithfulness. So the message of the forgiveness of sins, the message of the gospel, is a lihaza, or a proclamation of faithfulness. Are we there? Faithfulness. Anytime we're preaching the gospel, we're rehearsing, we're proclaiming what? Faithfulness. That's why I said the new covenant is called the covenant of God's what? Faithfulness. We are who we are. We will be who we will be, who we can be, because of the what? The loyalty, the faithfulness of God. So we say God is faithful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Of this man seed God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming at the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, as John fulfilled his course, he said, "O King, I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his I am not worthy to loose." Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, he says, "And whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not hear the voices of the prophet which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired the pilot that he should be slain." He says, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in his sepulchre." Can we take 30 together? I want to go. "But God raised him from the dead." 31. "And he was seen many days of them which came up from Galilee to Jerusalem, who was witnesses unto this." Verse 32. "And we declare unto you glad tidings, that are the promise which God made unto the fathers." 33. "God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as is written in 2 Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." 34. "And as concerning thee, risen from the dead, now more to return to corruption, he says, he said unto his wife, I give you the sure message of thee." 35. "Wherefore he said in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer the only one to see corruption." 36. "But David, after he had served his own generation, the will of God fell on a slave, and was laid unto his fathers for corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. But by them is all that justified from all the things which do. You could not be justified by the law of God. Beware lest it come upon you that which is spoken by the promise concerning the despisers." 41. The faithfulness of God. So the message which we preach, if you are a servant of God, like Paul said, he says, ministers, he says, it is required in stewards. He says in verse 1, ministers of Christ. Say, I'm a minister of Christ. Now, when he says you are a minister of Christ, what are you ministering? He mentions that in verse 2. He says, in that same verse 1, ministers of Christ, that is the stewards of the mysteries of God. Mystery, the word mysterion, means what is now being explained. What is now being explained? What have been foretold of or about and is now being explained? That is the word mystery. Mysterion. The mystery of Christ. So he says, servants of God. He says, stewards of the mysteries of Christ. So a servant of God, a servant of Christ. Are we together? A servant of Christ. A servant of Christ is the steward of the mystery of God. So, what is the mystery of God? You see the word mystery again, mysterion. You find that in 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. Again, you can even say, great is the mystery of God. Now, whether it's mysteries or mystery, are we together? We know it's the word mysterion. The plurality doesn't matter here. So, but you have the word. He says, stewards of the mysteries of God. Are we together? In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1. And then when you go into 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, great is the mystery of God. So it's the same word. Now, I know what you have the word. It's the word godliness, which is the word Eusebia. Eusebia. Are we together? Worship. Are we there? Are we together? Mystery of godliness. Are we together? Mystery of godliness. So you have mystery of God, you have the mystery of godliness, and it's referring to the same thing. The mystery of God is referring to the mystery of godliness, is referring to the same thing. So he says we are stewards. Now who is a steward? The word diakonia or diakonos means somebody that bears an assignment. He carries an assignment. He carries an assignment so much that his appearance is a discernment of what he has come to do. A steward, a servant, the one who waits on another for something to be done. So he bears a responsibility. Much more than his physical carriage, he actually functions in that area. So the word steward is a function, is an office. So he says we are stewards of the mysteries of God. That is an office that we are functioning from. It is an office wherein we are functioning. We function in the office. What office? The office of the mysteries of God. The truth of the gospel. So he then says, it is required, are we together? That in a what? In a servant, in a steward, in a minister. Hallelujah. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? Or faithful in what? Faithful in the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God, don't forget, we said, is the message of God's faithfulness. What does that mean to me, church? A minister of the gospel must wear the garment of his message. Or, let me put it differently, must wear his message as a garment. A minister of God, a minister of the gospel, must wear the character of his message. Look at this, the character of his ministry. Must wear the character of his ministry. What are we ministering? What are we ministering? We are ministering the faithfulness of God. Even the gifts of the Spirit, the charismatic ministry, lays claim or lays a claim to the fact that God is faithful. What do I mean by that? When we have the gifts of healing in operation in our meeting, is to show you that God's character has not changed. He still heals today. Is it clear? What about revelatory gifts? Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. It shows God still speaks today. His character has not changed. What of when we have the casting out of demons in our midst and deliverance from oppressive works of darkness, is just to show you and I that God is still the deliverer. Jehovah Rapha. He still provides. When we have miracles of needs being met, miracles of favor, miracles of provision, miracles of helps, it's to show that he is Jehovah Jireh. Again, he shows he is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is here. Are we together? He provides, he delivers, he heals. Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is here. The Lord is there. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The gifts of the Spirit demonstrate that amongst us. So even the gifts of the Spirit are to back up. Are we together? Don't forget we said the gifts backs up the message, isn't it? Isn't it? We said, you know, it says this sign shall follow the message. These are the signs that follows the message. So the message is the message of God's faithfulness. Are we together? So look at this. If I come to tell you that God is faithful, amen, then God heals your sickness as a sign that what I am saying is true. He heals your sickness. He casts out devil to show that his kingdom is here on the earth. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils from amongst you, he says, the kingdom is here. So the message which we preach, the message which we declare, is the message of God's kingdom, God's faithfulness, the operation of what we call the charismatic gifts is to further confirm. That is why I told you that when we teach God's word and we demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit, the demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit confirms what we are teaching. They confirm the word. So the gifts of the Spirit are operational to further proof that the message is true, that God is faithful. He's faithful to what? He's loyal to what? He's faithful to the Genesis plan. To heal, to bind, to restore. To lead, to guide, to direct, to feed. To set free, to bind. Luke chapter 4. Are we together? Faithful to his Genesis plan. Faithful to his method. Faithful to his men. Or faithful to mankind. He is faithful to humanity. Are we together? So look at this. I say this tonight. Put it in your notes. The preacher being faithful is in the wearing of the character of his or her message. Wearing the character of his or her message. That is faithfulness. Now, faithfulness is different from ambition. Ambition. Faithfulness is different from ambition. I'll take my time. Next meeting, I'll show you how they're different. Faithfulness is not the same as having an ambition. We must separate it. Many times, that difference is easily revealed,
are we together,
by scenarios which proves that you cannot have what you expected. Or the way to know faithfulness from ambition in the life of a person is by observing what the person does when he or she can no more get what he is expecting or what was expected. There are moments like that. Praise God. There are moments like that. Master, will you at this time restore unto Israel the kingdom? Then he says, no, I have not come for that kingdom. He says, to you it is to know the times and seasons which are in God's hand. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. You shall be witnesses of me. So at that moment, what they had expected was different from what they were given. It was a test of faithfulness. It was a test of faithfulness. So the difference between faithfulness and ambition is in what you do when your desires are not given you. When your desires are not given you, some folks join the church. Like some folks have been taught, the reason why some folks just backslide and would not serve God again is because all their life when they were younger, they were told that when you worship God, God will provide all of your needs. It doesn't seem as God is providing all of their needs. They discover that they still have to work like other people to make an income, despite laborious and tedious service of the Lord. So they've been taught wrongly. God will make you a millionaire. God will solve all your problems. God will do this. God will do this. What happens when what I want is not being given me? What happens when there is delay in what I want? We all have what we want, which is not evil. Is it clear? But many times, the challenge is what we think will get us what we want. Sometimes we think that just by serving God, it will get us the kind of beautiful life we want. No. If you are under a strong tutelage, we tell you that serving God many times brings challenges into your life. Only that, I would rather have challenges on my path of obeying God than run away from God and fall into a ditch of life. I would rather have God's challenges as my challenges. I would rather have problems, challenges, oppositions, not good moments because of my service to the Lord than fall into a life of challenge and God is not involved in it. Because like I always say, challenges of life comes to all of us. So what you do when your desires are not being given you many times reveals whether you have ambition or you're just a faithful Christian. We'll look into the scriptures. We'll begin to see that Jesus was described as faithful in his ministry. Moses was faithful. David was faithful. Yes. David was faithful. Moses was faithful. Moses was described to be faithful by the writer of Hebrews. He was faithful in all of his ministry, in all of his household, in all of his ministry, in all of his building, in all of the assignment God gave to Moses. Moses was faithful. Even when Moses discovered that he will not get into the promised land, how can you send me to Egypt? I fasted 40 days 2 times. No food, no water. I trek to Horeb, to the mountain of God. I go to Horeb countless times. I go to the mountain of God. I go to Egypt. I put my life on the line. I go to Pharaoh, who could have killed me. Out of courage, out of or with courage, defiance, supernatural though, I take a stand against all the wise men and magicians in Egypt. Not only that, I fell into the peril of my own brotherhood, Israel. I went through all of that, and the land you asked me to take them into, you said I would not go into that land. Let's call this thing off. Moses does not do that. At that moment when it was clear that he would not get into the promised land, he does a more major work than what he has ever done. He writes the book of Deuteronomy. That is faithfulness. He writes the book of Deuteronomy. He puts Exodus into writing. Are we together? Are we together? He puts Exodus into writing. He puts Exodus into writing. He puts Leviticus into writing. He puts Numbers into writing. He puts Genesis into writing. Oh, you mean I am not going? Then he settles down and then he begins to write. He begins to instruct Deuteronomy. A text that we have found today to be the most useful book of the Old Testament books for the work of a ministry. The book of Deuteronomy. The most useful book. Are we together, church? At the point when he knew, he will no more be allowed to the promised land. So Moses was faithful. David was a faithful man. We just saw it in scripture that the description of David in scripture is the faithful shepherd. The faithful shepherd. In fact, anytime we read or Jesus describes himself as the shepherd, are we together? The good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Look at what he says. He says in John chapter 10 verse 11. He says the good shepherd does what? The good shepherd lays down his life for the what? For the sheep. Did you know where he's teaching from? Jesus is teaching from 1 Samuel 17. He's teaching from 1 Samuel 17. Where David says, he says in the wilderness, when I was with the sheep, he says the bear came, the lion came. Are we together? The wolves came and takes one of the lamb of the sheep, and I leapt and I ran after it, and I took it by the head and I tore its mouth open to deliver, to rescue, to salvage what is left. Are we together? Of the cub, of the animal, of the lamb. So the good shepherd that lays his life down for the sheep is used to describe Jesus. Jesus took that description from David. So David was faithful. Elisha, obviously, was faithful to Elijah. Elisha was faithful. Are we together? How do we know that Elisha was faithful? If you look at 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha was faithful. So we see God, the story of God's faithfulness in the scriptures, we also see as examples and the teaching of scripture, we see men and women, the faithfulness of men and women of God. To learn from, in 2 Kings chapter 2, if you pick verse 1, it says, it came to pass when the Lord would have taken up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal, and Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So he went down to Bethel. There's a statement that looks like this also: "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Are we together? That is God. That is God. So look at this. Look at this. Now, maybe in our next meeting, I will show you from Naomi and Boaz. Are we together? With Ruth, the story of Boaz and Naomi and Ruth. How Naomi said, "Well, wherever you go," he says, "I will what? I will go." In fact, she said, "Your people is my people." He says, "Your Lord is my Lord. If evil befalls you, then let it befall me." Are we together? She leaves her people, she leaves her kindred to follow a man that they were not related, but because that man had the plan of God. Are we together? Obviously, Jesus came from that lineage. Are we together? Jesus came from that lineage. But it shows you, if God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," are we together? And then you see Elisha here. Elisha is saying to Elijah, he says, "As truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will never depart from you." Are we together? I will not depart from you. And then look at it, we'll find the same thing in the book of Ruth, where a declaration of faithfulness was someone saying to another, "I will never leave you." It tells you one thing, that everywhere faithfulness is, the language is the same. Does that make sense to you? Everywhere faithfulness is. So faithfulness is a Christian virtue. Say for me. Faithfulness is a Christian virtue. Everywhere faithfulness is, are we together? The language is what? The same. Look at what he says. He says, "The sons of the prophets were at Bethel. They came to Elisha." Look at this. "And said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Hold your peace." Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will cleave unto you." Now, do you think verse 4 and verse 3 happened the same day? Do you think they happened the same day? Do you think they happened the same day? No. They didn't happen the same day. In fact, it wasn't the same week. Weeks, months apart. So this was a record to show us how Elisha stuck with Elijah for the many years in ministry. Are we together? Now, because when you say many years in ministry, you have to go and see when Elijah called Elisha. So it's to show you that Elisha stuck with Elijah till the end of Elijah's earthly ministry. Is it clear? Number two, anywhere you find faithfulness, it is always till the end. It is always what? Till the end. Look at me, everyone. Look at me, everyone. Look at me. God does not bring people together by chance. Are we together? He doesn't. People can meet by chance. "I met you" is different from "God brought me to you." Is it clear? So when God is the one initiating the meeting, it is not what? It is not what? It is not what? It is not ordinary. Are we together? God does it. It's not ordinary. So when we are being faithful to the things and the relationships that God has brought us in contact with, the language of that faithfulness everywhere is what? Is the same. Secondly, that faithfulness is intended of God. Now, look at this. It doesn't always happen. God's will is not always fulfilled at moments. Is it clear? Even though his eventual plan will be fulfilled, but the basic and the minorities of his plan might not be. So, it doesn't mean that is what he intends or not intended. But look at this. When God brings two people together, God's intention is that that thing stays till the very end. The understanding of that is why Moses will say, what God has joined together, are we together? Let no man what? Put asunder. You see, that statement, is it clear? It's not salvation. No. Even though it is seen in salvation, is it clear? Christ and the church. But that statement, amen, was made in that text. Moses was using something to teach another. So what Moses was teaching is salvation. Are we together? That's what he was teaching. But he uses what is understood by the people as a counsel of God in unity relationships. I've not said marriage. Marriage is only supposed to also follow that relationship. Are we together? Marriage is meant to also follow that relationship. But God's plan, what that statement describes, is actually relationships. Relationships ordained of God. Is what God has what? Joined together. Is it clear? That no man should put what? Asunder. That means this is God's intention. Amen. So look at me. Look at me. Why is it that in salvation, that statement is fulfilled? And in other relationships, it seems like it might not be fulfilled. Because in other relationships, it has to do with man to man. But in salvation, God is the one running it. So salvation will always be the point of that lesson. Because God is the one running that one. That will always be the reference point of that lesson. The lesson that God wants all humanity to learn. That in relationships, which God has ordained, let no man put asunder. Are we together? So, language of faithfulness is the same everywhere. Secondly, faithfulness is what God intends, or God intends faithfulness to be that which remains till the what? Till the end. And the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho, verse 5, came to Elisha. Now, look at this. The group that came to Elisha in verse 5, were they the same group that came to Elisha in verse 3? No. Are we together? No. And they said, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from the earth today? And he answered, yes, I know. Hold your peace. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry, I pray thee. He says, as the Lord liveth, to Jordan. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. He said, as the Lord liveth, so liveth. I will not leave thee. So Elisha had the same confession after many years of ministry. The same confession after many years of ministry. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet stood afar off, and the two stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and spoke the waters that divided it, and did so that the two went over the dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do before I take it away from you. Elijah said, I pray thee, let the double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast a hard thing. Nevertheless, the word hard there is the Hebrew word, I checked it, uncommon. Uncommon. It is not translated hard. It is translated rare. Is it clear? Rare. You have asked a rare thing, an uncommon thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on still and talked, and behold, there appeared the chariots of fire, horses of fire, and parted them, sunder, both asunder, and Elijah went by the wherewith into heaven. Elijah saw it, and he said, cried, my father, chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took off his own clothes, rent him into two pieces, took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had thus smoten the waters, he said, departed hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophet which were revealed Jericho saw him, said, Spirit of Elijah, the word of Elisha, and they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Where is the God of Elijah? What does that statement mean? I am here to continue the ministry of Elijah. Faithfulness. You will find Joshua uses the same word. As the Lord God had commanded Moses, as the Lord God had commanded his servant Moses, even after Moses had died, he kept on saying, as the Lord God had commanded his servant Moses, before the people, before the people. The third thing I will show you about faithfulness, which will pick on from the next time we look into this subject, is that faithfulness cares about the start more than the process of the journey. The attention of the faithful one is always at the beginning. A faithful man always looks back at the starting points. The faithful man always focuses on the how. He does not focus on the where as much as he focuses on the how. Someone say how. How? How? How did we start? How did I get here? How did we come to this point? How? 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 How did we come to this point? How did we arrive here? The way Christians grow is the way Christians was. How? How? How did I become a discipler? How did I become a worker? How? How did I join church? How? 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 How did I become a cell leader? How did I become an associate pastor? How did I become a unit leader? How did I become someone who handles an instrument in the unit? How? How did I become the person who keeps the sanctuary and opens the door, at the gatekeeper, the person responsible for the opening and administration of the church venue? How did I become someone who handles accommodation at a camp meeting? Now, camp meeting, we're expecting 5,000 delegates, 20,000 delegates. How did I come to a point where accommodation is on my shoulders? How did you come to a point where you now become the one in charge of finances in the church? How did you come to that point? The faithful man does not forget. He looks back. He reminds himself of the how. Did you observe that the query of Samuel to Saul, we'll see that in our next meeting, was, he says, were you not small in your own eyes when the Lord called you and anointed you and made you king? Were you not small? Were you not small? How have you forgotten so soon how you became a king? Did you not remember that you were that little boy that was lost? And I met you. Now I'm telling you to do something, and then you're saying, I have done it. Go look at that text. He was literally arguing with Samuel. Samuel said, you have not acquiesced with the voice of the Lord. He said, I have done it. I have done all. I have done all. Pastor, I have done what you asked me to do. Then Samuel has to tell Saul at the point. He says, I am the one that anointed thee. So hear what I say. Yeah? What led the conversation to the point where Samuel will now say to you, I am your pastor?
That's not even what I meant. Samuel now said to you, I was the one that made you the cell leader. Take my instructions. What led to giving that statement to that point? Are we together? Faithfulness is the answer, the antidote to pride. It keeps us from being prideful. We're going to see that several in the text of David. David said, the Lord had kept me through my uprightness, my faithfulness. The Lord uses our faithfulness to keep us in his work. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? He has to tell him. He says, were you not small in your own eyes? Were you not small in your eyes? When the Lord had called thee and anointed thee to be king. Look at that text as we close. Look at that text in 1 Samuel 15. I'll close in that text. 1 Samuel 15. If you look at verse 10 in 1 Samuel 15. Old Testament books are filled with those examples. Verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he turned back from following me, and had not performed my commandments. And he grieved Samuel, and Samuel cried unto the Lord all night. What does he mean by he had turned back from following me? Following the Lord was obeying Samuel's instructions. Following the Lord. So when you look at 17, verse 17, it says in 16, or in 15, it says, and Saul said, they have brought them from Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Verse 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said unto me this night. And he said unto him, stay on. Imagine. Say it. Stay on. I'm listening. Verse 17, can we read together? I want to go. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, thou was made the head of the tribe of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Look at 19. Wherefore, then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the soil, and did evil in the sight of God. Look at what Samuel said. Saul said. Look at it. Can we read together? And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord has sent me, and I have brought the king of Agag and Amalekite, and I have done this. In other words, what else do you want? He began to argue. In verse 23, he says, for rebellion. In 22, and Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken the fowl than fowl of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, stubbornness, as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. What was the word of the Lord? His pastor's instruction. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected you from being king. From being king. Look at next. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. And your words. Your words. You must never forget your pastor's words. Your words. Your words. Your words. Look at it. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Their voice. So look at this. He says the Lord has rejected you. We're going to explore that. God will not partake with darkness. His faithfulness is his character. He will not be found with the unfaithful. Are we together? Are we together, church? So, the faithfulness of God at work in or through a believer always looks back. I just give you that wisdom tonight. In faithfulness, I look back. I look back. I look at how I grew. And I'm saying that, and a non-member is not here, or a non-worker rather is not here, because we are all workers and leaders. You must not forget the how. You must not forget how you got to a point where you can now take mic and lead the service when the pastor is not standing, that if he has given you the mic, say to them, I don't have to be there vetting what you have to say. You mustn't forget how you came to that point. How you came to that point. So, the faithful Christian is more attentive and focused on what? The how. Than the what? The where. So it's not about where I am now. Oh, I am now. I am now king. He says, remember how you became king. Faithfulness. So Paul says, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Are we together, church? It is required in stewards that a man is found faithful. So, like I said, we're taking the next series of Workhouse Fellowship to look at Christian virtues, where the Lord speaks to us. And as the Lord speaking to us tonight about our faithfulness, do the check tonight. Are we together? What conversations preceded what you are doing currently with the Lord in the church? What conversations? What were you told? Some of us, what is functioning in our life currently were things given to us by the laying on of hands. Don't forget. Now, someone put his hands on you and the gift of God began to work. Don't forget. Don't forget that it wasn't just the hands were laid on you. Someone gave you instructions that you heeded. And the set of instructions caused you to have a solid walk that you have currently. Don't forget. So, faithfulness, number one. Are we together? Faithfulness. Number one, what do you say about faithfulness? Number one, it speaks what? The same language. Number two, faithfulness does what? Faithfulness focuses on what? Sorry? Number one, we said faithfulness speaks the same what? Language everywhere. Secondly, we said faithfulness is something that you will do to what? To the end. Thirdly, we said faithfulness has its attention on how we began than where we are now. Is it clear? If I focus too much on where we are and I lose my attention on where I began, I will walk out of the path. But if I set my attention all the time on how we began, it is enough to set me on the course perpetually, continuously, consistently. Are we together? Consistently. So how do I go forward? I don't keep my eyes away from the back. Don't forget that effectual communication of your faith, will become effectual by what? The communication of faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That is the way you make progress in the faith, is by keeping your eyes in the past. The event that happened in the death, burial, and resurrection. As I look behind me, I make progress. Is it clear, church? So that is the kind of looking behind that the scripture counsels, admonishes. Not the looking behind of doubt. Not the looking behind of the Lord's wife, the wife of Lot. Not the looking behind of the one that cannot take his heart away from the things you would have enjoyed or used to enjoy before you got into the service of God. Not that kind of looking back. The scripture admonishes a kind of looking back. One that sustains your effectiveness and your faithfulness. Not one that checks it and weakens your faithfulness walk. Through the month of April, do your faithfulness check. Are we together, church? Let's just bow our heads and pray. And just say a word of prayer to the Lord. How has God's word tonight addressed you? Just pray. Just pray. Just pray.
Joshua. Faithful. A faithful church. A faithful church. Faithful leaders. Faithful leaders. Faithful workers. My faithfulness is unaffected. Yes. My work of faith is strengthened. I trust in God's faithfulness. I know He's able to keep me. I act like it. Faithful. I am faithful. I remember. I am not forgetful. I am not like the forgetful Israel. I remember. I remember when He kept me. I remember when He prospered me. I remember those moments when I trust God for resources and finances and He came through. I know it is a sign to show that He is with me. Now that it's not looking so, I choose to stay my convictions on that fact that God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And I trust that faithfulness. If you have been healed, it's a sign that God is faithful. If you have ever had your needs met, it's a sign that God is faithful. If you have ever been preserved from harm, you have been preserved from being kidnapped. You have been preserved from being led astray. You have been preserved from being hurt. You have been preserved from having an auto crash, an accident. You have been kept. Your health has been restored. You have enjoyed increase in the betterment of your health. You have walked in sound health. You have been healed severally. It's a sign that God is faithful. He said, Lord, you have my faithfulness. I renew my heart. I renew my faithfulness, O Lord. I stay faithful. Simple devotion. I stay faithful. 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 In your prayer life, I'm faithful. I'm faithful to the activities that brought me where I am. The fastings, I'm faithful. The outreaches, I'm faithful. The prayer meetings, I'm faithful. 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 Lord, I trust in your faithfulness. And I remain faithful. Yes, yes. I don't allow pride in my heart. I'm not presumptuous. I'm not haughty. I'm not offended. No, 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 no. I knew when I knew nothing. I remember when I knew nothing. Now that I am knowing and I am learning, I stay faithful. I stay faithful. I knew the times. I remember the times that I had no influence whatsoever in this church. I had no single influence whatsoever in this church. And I can even see people in the church that were the same way I was then. No influence. Me, clueless, just growing, simple, obedient, learning, following. I stay faithful. I remember the way I started. I am faithful, Lord, to the process. You will lead me. Messages, it is God speaking to you. That is the word of the Lord for you now. You must drop every other thing and focus on this area. And do the work in your private moments, in your prayer times, do the work of faithfulness. That is the word of the Lord to us as a church now. Let your heart be lended. Be lended. As you receive these aspirations, let it touch you, let it work on you, let it affect you, let it impact you, let it get to you. Let it get to you. Let it fill your heart. Let it cause you, lead you to repentance. Let it cause you to be humble, to be open, to be just like a child in your hearts. Let it walk on you. Let the Lord be able to use the emphasis tonight to walk on you as a leader, as a worker, as an assistant. Faithfulness all around in my private life, my devotion. I'm faithful in my service in the church. I'm faithful in the cell. I'm faithful to my disciples. I'm faithful to my leaders. I'm faithful in the unit. I'm faithful in my giving. I'm faithful in my pledges. I'm faithful to meetings. I'm faithful to my devotion. I'm faithful to the doctrine. I'm faithful to my walk with God. I'm faithful to my leaders. I'm faithful to other things. I'm faithful to my consecration. I'm faithful. Faithfulness all around me. I know my friend Abraham, because he will teach his household to be faithful. I know my friend. I know my friend Mekulia. I know my friend David. I know my friend Ayodeji. I know my friend Christiana. I know my friend Shewa. I know my friend Ife. I know my friend Shola. He will teach his disciples to be faithful. He will teach all his associations and relationships to be faithful. I know my friends. When God knows you will do, he will tell you more. He will, if he knows you will serve it, he will supply more. He will supply more. My heart is not shifted. In the name of Jesus. My heart is not shifted. In the name of Jesus. My heart is not shifted. In the name of Jesus. My heart is not proud. In the name of Jesus. The information that comes to me does not affect me. In the name of Jesus. My heart is not haughty. In the name of Jesus. My heart is not disturbed. In the name of Jesus, I keep my faithfulness. Is that my love? Did he follow you? Not ashamed to show. Love for you, my God. Straight from my heart, I worship you. You are the reason for life. Simply devoted to you. Oh Lord, I lose my life to follow you. The life that I live is Lord. Faithful your prayer life. Faithful your morning devotion. Faithful your morning devotion. Faithful your morning devotion. Faithful your private moments. Faithful your private moments. Faithful listening to teachings. Faithful listening to teachings. Faithful your morning devotion. Faithful your morning devotion. Faithful your private moments. Faithful your private moments. Faithful listening to teachings. Faithful listening to teachings. Is that voice still waiting in your heart? Or is it losing its power? Is that voice still waiting? Does that voice still command speed as he ought to? Does that voice still instill urgency as it used to? You must do that check. Am I faithful? Some things are hard because you are no more faithful. Oh, yeah. May I never be familiar with that voice. Holy Abelie. Are you still faithful in giving, or are you losing that habit? Are you losing that habit and you are no more enjoying a sponsorship of that habit from the Lord? Here I am. Holy, holy, available. As for me, I will say, Lord, we thank you for your word. we receive in our hearts. Our lives transformed. Consistency in our walk. Lord, we know we have many decades ahead of us. We trust in your faithfulness. That you are this time of our lives and of our ministry and of our works. Instill in our hearts that blessed virtue of faithfulness. Everyone here under the sound of my voice, we cease of unfaithfulness and disloyalty and discommitment. Come against that work of the flesh. We kill those things by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the word and the move of the Spirit of God, as from tonight, much more in our private moments beyond now, there will be an effectual working of God's word in our hearts, planting seeds of faithfulness, nurturing it, and in the coming days will be a harvest of growth and growing in the area of faithfulness, building faithful stewards of the gospel, of the gifts of the Spirit, faithful stewards of relationships, of information, of lives, of nations, of works, faithful stewards of souls, of lives, faithful stewards of our fears of other people's lives, faithful stewards of experience and wisdom in ministry, faithful stewards. We will receive ministry of faithful stewards.